Good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Tonight going to be contending for truth. That's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at the decay of truth. The decay of truth. Last week we looked at how good men cease. We looked also at how the faithful fail, which is still a very real thing. And then the Bible speaks of a falling away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house this evening, and I ask you to meet with us. Thank you, Lord, for the work you've done in my heart on this message and preparing it for these last couple of weeks. And I just thank you, Lord, I just ask you to meet with us. Tonight, I ask you to give me the words that you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. The key to the falling away is found in the first part of verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. Why is that? Because there's coming a falling away, and you don't want to be one of them. Deception is the precursor to falling away. Now, this rubbed folks wrong sometimes, but the falling away here is saved people. The falling away is when faithful fail, and we looked at that some last week. Sometimes we quote, and I do too, 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. This is lost people. In context, those who for a season joined themselves with the believers, maybe an empty profession, maybe an empty prayer, maybe tried religion. But truth is the great divider. You either embrace truth or you will reject truth. You can only straddle the fence for so long until a decision is made to either accept truth or reject truth. In John 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then Galatians 4:16, we're going to come back to it. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You see, truth can be hard to hear, but why is that? Because truth hurts at times. Truth confronts us. Truth challenges us. Truth calls us to change. And sometimes we don't like change, all of us. Truth reveals who we really are and not who we think ourselves to be. Truth challenges our belief systems. Truth challenges our opinions. Truth challenges what we think. But the Bible says that to know truth is freedom. But the word usage here for the word know is not simply just an intellectual assent. Knowing is applying. Knowing truth in the sense of the word is knowledge applied. Many people are in bondage today as a result of not applying truth. I know many people who know the Bible without end about their addictions, yet they've yet to walk in victory. Why is that? Because knowledge in and of itself doesn't set you free. It is knowledge that is applied to your situations. An old preacher said once, a man came to him and said, I've read through the Bible many times and I still don't have victory. And the preacher responded, well, allow the Bible to read through you once and that'll make all the difference. You see, truth isn't a magic wand that sets you free just by knowing it. It's a work of God in you and through you as you apply truth to your account. Just like salvation, you can know the gospel. You can be the gospel. Or believe the gospel and be as lost as Judas. I mentioned last Sunday, Judas knew all he needed to be saved, but is in hell today. Judas even believed that Jesus was the sinless Son of God. He testified of this when he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Heard one preacher say that since Jesus is the door, when Judas kissed Jesus, he kissed the door to heaven, but is in hell. All the knowledge he had, in firsthand knowledge, he was a witness, but it wasn't enough to save him because Judas never applied that knowledge to his account. Truth, no matter how hard, is not given to harm us, it's for our good. Truth is a gift from a loving God who desires that we walk in freedom, not bondage. Jesus said that truth makes us free. Free from sin, free from deception. Well, what precedes the great falling away? Deception. Truth makes us free from the burdens of guilt and shame. When God reveals truth through His Word, through His Spirit, or even through the loving correction of others, it's always rooted in love, meant to bring healing and restoration. But oftentimes, those who are called of God to carry truth can be viewed as the enemy. Have you ever told someone the truth and they attacked you? You said the truth and they took it out on you. Their problem was ultimately with truth, but they didn't quite look at it that way. The Apostle Paul once asked the Galatians, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul there in Galatians, he's talking to the people there, saying, when I first came among you, you'd have done anything for me. You'd have plucked out your eyes for me. But after a while, they got tired of truth. And when they got tired of truth, they got tired of Paul. Sometimes truth tellers are misunderstood, maybe misrepresented at times. Sometimes folks resist truth because it uncovers areas of weakness. But if we receive it humbly, truth brings us into alignment with God's will. It draws us closer to His heart. We're more conformed into His image and likeness. So as we look at truth tonight, I want us to hone in on something specific about truth. And it's this: why is today's culture a hotbed of truth deniers? Why is there a falling away? To answer this, we'll look to 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. As you turn there, I want to begin reading. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now again, we're going to be looking at truth and the breakdown of not only truth, but the overall rejection of truth by many. The word truth is mentioned 224 times in your King James. The Bible says we're to speak truth in love. And I must say that truth is best received when spoken in love. However, many today are so offended by truth, they fail to recognize the love that truth is wrapped in. There are those who reject truth so much, they don't see a loving mother, or they don't see a loving father. They don't see a loving teacher. They don't see a loving principal. There are those who reject truth so much, they don't see a man or woman who loves their community enough to wear a badge, or a man or woman who loves their nation enough to wear a uniform. They're at war with truth, which causes them to be at war with anyone who shares truth with them. In Proverbs 27:6, we see this: faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. This highlights that truthful correction from someone who loves you, even if it hurts, is more valuable than deceitful flattery. I ask you tonight, do you value truth? Do you value it even when it hurts? Many would rather be flattered by lies than to be told the truth. Now, I get it, because the truth does hurt at times. None of us are perfect at always receiving truth well. Hebrews 12:11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Truth can be chastening. Truth can be corrective in nature. We smile at truth that we're on the right side of. But we can become disgruntled when truth reveals that we aren't who we thought ourselves to be. But true love will speak truth towards those that they love. In 1 Corinthians 13:6, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. This verse is from the famous love chapter. It emphasizes that true love, charity, does not celebrate wrongdoing, but it finds joy in the truth. Which means there are some things, tragically, and we're seeing this even more in the society that we live in. We're seeing, as society gets worse, the divide between those that want to do right and those that want to do wrong is only going to get greater. The fallout that you're going to have with some people, even in your family, is just going to be greater as society gets more and more wicked. And we've got to decide that not only are we going to tell the truth, but we also got to decide that, you know what, if we truly love them, we're going to tell them the truth. And you know what? It's not always easy to tell somebody the truth. It's not always easy, because sometimes they could become an adversary after that point. You know, you could lose the friendship. You could lose the relationship. You could they could distance themselves from you. they might leave the church, or they might leave the youth group, or they might leave the kids club. And that's crazy. But even in this day and age, it seems like even with parents, if the kid gets upset, you might lose the whole family these days with how everything is so backwards. But you think about that sometimes. But if you love people, and you got to stick to the truth. You have to tell the truth. You cannot celebrate wrongdoing. If you truly love somebody, you'll tell them the truth and not celebrate with them their wrongdoing. Now, as we break down 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4, we'll look at a couple of things. In verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Endure could be likened to sit through or get through. They won't be able to handle the truth. There'll be those who will not endure sound doctrine. The word "will not" is interesting to me. I'm sure everyone in here at some point in time has emphatically stated, "I will not," to something. Could even be a mushroom or something. "I will not. I will not eat it." It could be anything. I don't care what it is. There was something at some point in time you said, "I will not do it. I will not eat it. I will not go there. I will not." Now, when you say "will not," or somebody says "will not" to me that sounds like there ain't no more give. Their mind's made up. There ain't no change in that mind. That mind is made up. "I will not." End of story. That's it. No more talking about it. I don't want to hear nothing else about it. That is it. Has someone ever stated emphatically to you, "I will not"? There seems to be a definitive choice being made on the part of a certain group of people, and they've made the choice they will not endure sound doctrine. Have you ever shared truth with someone and they said, "I will hear nothing else on the matter," or "I'm done talking about it," or "I'll talk about it no further"? A willful decision was made on the part of the hearer that they would no longer endure That's what we see in verse 3. A willful decision being made by the will, the free will of a certain group. And the decision is that they won't endure sound doctrine. Then verse 4, we see this. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. So we see where truth is traded for what isn't real. You know, there's still only true or false. It's either true or it's false. We're living in a day where truth of any kind is under attack. Truth has become offensive in the minds of many. The devil's ushered us into a time in society and in culture where people would rather believe an easy lie than to embrace a hard truth. There was a time when people valued truth even if they didn't value God's word. You see this sometimes with generations that came previous to us. Sometimes they say things and those of my generation will cringe a little bit because we were brought up in a different time. Some of the things they say is just like, we don't say that to people no more. But there was a time where, I'll be honest with you, we're all a little more honest with people that we know can handle it. We're just a little more honest, a little more forthcoming with them, a little more blunt. And I try to remember that sometimes. And I try not to be too blunt with people that can handle it around people who may not know all the context there. There are RU students that I could just about get right down to their level with the truth. Addicts get right down the level with them with the truth because they could handle it. They were brought up in the streets. There ain't much you could say that would offend them in the church. There ain't much anybody could say to them that hadn't been said to them before. They're hard to offend in some ways. So I could just be real honest with them. Real honest. Here's where you're at. Here's where you're going. And this is what's going to happen. Just right on down the road if you keep going the way you're going. And I just spell it right out. You know, it was easier some time ago to convince folks of Bible truth because truth in general was more widely accepted. You know, even doctors today are not as honest as they used to be. they're not as honest. You come in and they say, what do you want me to do? Essentially, what would you like to be prescribed? People avoid the doctor. They're not like they used to be. They're more they're really more your enemy today than they were they were your friend back in the day. I'm thankful for the honest doctors that I've had. One of them was with the VA. They said, "You don't lose weight and get control of your life, and your health, you won't be around." Some people need to be told that. And I was one of them. I needed to be told that. No, I didn't like it. When I was sitting there, I didn't like it. I didn't let her know that I didn't like it. Unless she interpreted my quietness as evidence. But I didn't like it. But then after, like, you know what? I appreciated that. Because sometimes we do need a kick in the pants. Sometimes we know we just need a little help. We just need a little assistance. There was a day that people just stated things as they were, not how they wanted it to be or as others wanted it to be. But those days are, by and large, gone. I was watching reruns of a show the other day where inventors stand before investors and pitch their product. One of the inventions, I think I told you all this before, was a skinny mirror. This was a mirror that would make you look like you wanted to look rather than how you truly looked. It's a mirror that would lie to you. When it comes to our image, when it comes to our physical appearance, pictures tell the truth. Videos tell the truth. Scales tell the truth. Dietitian tells the truth. Why do we oftentimes not like pictures or videos of ourselves? That's because we don't like seeing the truth. And I'm as guilty as any when it comes to this. I dare say we all have something about us that's difficult to face. There are even some people that they'll say, here's my good side. Take a picture of this side right here. This here's my good side. Or this here's my good side. Take a picture of this one right here. Or they'll say, take a picture of me front on. Don't get my side profile. I'll never get that out of my mind. So don't do that to me. You know? I mean, we just like that. Sometimes we're quirky about stuff like that. But I dare say we all got something about us that's difficult to face. And even in our culture, we've seen the rise of using filters for your photos and videos to almost make a person look completely different than they truly are. But it's not the truth. Plastic surgery, and not the reconstructive type following accidents, just folks who are just dissatisfied with reality. Botox, implants, there's Photoshop. You can remove things from your body. If you have a wart or something on your nose, you can remove it. Or if you want one of those beauty marks, there was a day where all the ladies wanted a little dot right over here on the side, whatever that was, and they wanted it. Well, now, if you Photoshop, you can have one. If you want dimples, you can have them. Teeth, white as snow, you can have that. If you don't have hair, no problem. You can get some. You can enhance certain areas. You can remove volume from certain areas. You can manipulate photos to look the way you want. With the rise of AI, we're seeing more and more images and videos that are simply not reality. They're manipulated to such a point that it's no longer truth. So we live in a culture that doesn't want to see themselves clearly. But why? We're getting to the point of it tonight. As a culture, we have been weakened to such a point that we cannot handle the truth. We are emotionally fragile. So how does this apply to believers tonight? Again, we're getting to the main heart of the message. We cannot allow culture to dictate truth for us. We cannot allow the sensitivities of culture to rub off on us to the point that we can no longer appreciate truth. We cannot make the move from reality to a virtual reality that doesn't exist because it feels safe. People are literally creating a safe space from the truth. If you allow the world to get to you in these ways, you'll trade the word, you'll trade your pastor, you'll trade your church for one that feels safe. It's all connected. As the world weakens Christianity, as Christians become more sensitive, as they become more easily offended, easily triggered, and cannot handle the truth, they put up walls to protect themselves from the truth. They won't allow the truth of the word into their safe space. Safe space is all the rage today. We have more phobias today in America, I believe, than we've ever had. People just want to be safe from all their fears, and truth is one of them. Afraid of truth. They won't allow those who will speak truth into their lives, into their safe space. They won't attend a church that speaks truth into their safe space. And I encourage you tonight, allow the Lord to strengthen you to such a point that you can handle the truth even if it rubs you the wrong way. Don't allow the culture of the day to define you. It will directly affect your walk. If we're not careful, we'll be the one that Paul warns young Timothy about, that you don't want to be. In verse 3, the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. And again, endure could be likened to sitting through or getting through they won't be able to handle the truth. And you know what? I've shared my testimony with y'all before. When I was coming back to the Lord, I'd be sitting in the pew and I'd get under conviction. I'd get up and walk out. I'm just telling y'all right now. I'm just being honest with y'all. I'd get up and walk out. I'd go out to my truck or whatever, and then my wife would come out, and then she's upset with me. Why'd you leave church? Why did you walk out of the service? It's like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm not talking about it. Truth. And then after a while, just sitting under it, and the Lord breaking me. Now I always want to be in church. I don't want to get out. I don't want to get out of church anymore. But I know what it's like. I know what it's like also to be the one that's not coming to church because you know what's there. I know what that's like too. We know the Holy Spirit's there. We know the Word is there. We know truth is there. And sometimes people don't want it. The Lord has to once again bring them to the place to where they want it. And that time's getting more and more. We see it. We do see it by and large in Bible preaching churches. As I've said before, we don't have the crowds that we used to have. 4, there shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. So we see where truth was traded for what isn't real. And that's going on all over the place. But we don't want it to be us.